Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey. I just always hesitate because it always is like a delay. So it's like never at the same time. So I'm just you go right ahead.
Even with the delay, we have that slight lag. We were like it together last week. And by last week, I mean a few days ago because we're recording in the same week again.
Yeah, it's weird. We're on top of it. I know. It's like, I feel like we just did this, but you know what? We did. So that's why.
Exactly. So, you know, we're keeping it up. We're, you know, keeping you on your toes. Who knows when we're going to record? Maybe it'll be the day before. Maybe it'll be several days. You'll never know.
It's very true.
As long as they came out, right? As long as they come out on Wednesday, it's fine.
Yeah, I think that's totally fine.
But go ahead. Do you want to talk about the?
The Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Yes, everybody. If you listened last week, or you might just know, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We just wanted to remind everyone to be aware of this, and we have several, you know, links, of course, that we will put in the show notes that you can use clearly, you know, for yourself or pass it on to someone else if you need any kind of help. Or you can always reach out to us, of course, too. We're very passionate about this. And of course, you know, being that we talk about these kind of crimes frequently, we know that there are plenty of people out there, too, that it affects. It's not even just those people directly involved. So I guess that's what I have on it. Cassie, you have anything you'd like to add to that?
No, like Shannon said, the hotline number, text and link to their website will be in our show notes. It'll be in our show notes throughout the entire month. We also have the information on our social media pages and stuff as well. Hopefully, you know, none of our listeners need it, but if you do, it's there. So yeah. And so my case this week isn't a domestic violence case. But it is still a Halloween case. And so first, before I kind of just dive right in, I do want to give a trigger warning. There is child abuse and sexual assault of a child in this. I'm not going to be going into graphic details. Thankfully, I didn't find, I'm so happy I didn't find any, details when I was going into this.
That stuff is tough to read, even.
It is. And I'll say, it was really hard. So, okay, first of all, I'm going to be talking about the murder of Lisa Ann French that happened on Halloween night in 1973. And it took place in, I meant to look this up, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Mm.
I've heard of that and I've seen that written. So you did great. That's how I would
have
said
it. Yes. Thank you. So I got my information from several sites, website articles, and I'll link those all because they're pretty interesting. I was just sad that I couldn't find a ton of information on who Lisa was. I mean, she was only 9, unfortunately, you know, but we didn't get a ton about her. There are some other podcasts. I didn't listen to any of them. They all seemed kind of shorter too, so I didn't figure they probably went into much detail that I couldn't get from the articles.
Old cases like that too, it is hard to find just information about who they were because they couldn't document it like we can document our every move on internet and social media. So
yes. So to start though, I am going to talk about Lisa, you know, at least a little bit I know about her. You know, one of the articles that I read had quotes from her younger sister, which I'll get into a little bit later, because that's kind of interesting. So Lisa was born on June 2nd of 1964 in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, or Oshkosh, you know.
One of those two. Perfect.
Yep. To Alan French and Mary Ann Gearing. By 1973, her parents were no longer together, and her mother was remarried to Bruce DePaw, which I'm probably saying his name wrong. It's P-A-U-W. So, not trying to mess that up.
How did you say it?
DePaw?
DePaw. Yeah. I don't know why I care. Like, I don't know how to say it either. So you're good.
She had an infant half brother at this time, named Michael, and her mother was actually pregnant at this time with her little half sister, Susan. And like I said, at this point now, they did live in Fond du Lac, which is, that's a fun name to say. I might be saying it wrong.
Totally. But I was just thinking, I want to live in Fond du Lac. It just sounds, yeah. And also fondue made me think of the food fondue. So it was like a weird, I took a weird turn there.
I mean, fair. So Lisa would actually often visit with her neighbor, Gerald Miles Turner Jr. And he had originally lived in the other half of their duplex. But then he moved just like a few houses down from them, and she would often go and visit with him, either showing him like new things she had gotten or just like sitting and talking with him. And Turner and his live-in girlfriend, Arlene Penn, actually had an infant daughter as well. And Lisa would often come over to play with the baby and push her in her stroller up and down the neighborhood. So they had a good relationship. Arlene will later testify even that, you know, Lisa came over all the time. Like, that wasn't out of the norm. So, on October 31st of 1973, Lisa was just 9 years old, and she was excited to go to the Pumpkin Place, which was this Halloween outdoor party that the parents were hosting for the kids to do instead of trick-or-treating, because at this time, it's when they had those like supposed reports of like poison candies and candy with razor blades in them. Uh-huh. And so, you know, parents, you know, it's kind of like that satanic panic. And I'm not saying that like there weren't small instances of this. I think there were some things, but the extreme that people took it to nowadays.
I mean, and then, yeah, you know, there was a case. I don't remember. I think it was around that time when I was researching, you probably found it too, about a dad who poisoned his own kids like pixie sticks. So that was that same time. So I get that. They probably all were like heightened on their, you know, they're scared.
Yeah, but it was his own kids, not other people's kids. And it's like, nowadays I've seen the memes going around and it's like, I'm not going to waste my weed on your children.
Yeah, thanks. That's expensive shit. Thanks. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, please grow up.
That's
yeah, seriously.
So,
it's time for that crap.
Right. So this is that time of that fear starting and stuff. And so these parents set up this outdoor party for kids to go to. And they figured this was a safe alternative for children instead of going door to door.
That sounds fun.
So Lisa had originally wanted to go as a butterfly, but her mom worried that it was going to be too cold. So her mom decided she should dress as a hobo, which it was 1973. So they didn't care about whether that was correct or not. That it's not a good look nowadays. Yeah, so her mom dressed her up in that and sent her on her way. Well, Lisa was supposed to go to the Pumpkin Place with her best friend, Ann Parker. Unfortunately, Ann misbehaved shortly before and was grounded from going out and doing any trick-or-treating. And in this article that I read, Anne says that to this day, she still lives with guilt, wondering if things would have been different if she'd been with her friend, which this poor girl was only like 8 or 9 years old. It's like, that's so much guilt for a child to have. And the article that I read that quote from was from 2017. So for over 40 plus years, this woman's been carrying this guilt, and like, that's so heartbreaking. And that shows just like, you know, in these cases, it's not just the murder victim themselves who are affected by this. You know, there's so many people who suffer after the fact. So, I mean, that was just another thing. I just thought it was heartbreaking.
Yeah. That is sad. I think, people always find a way to feel guilty, and that sucks because it's really not their fault.
It's not her fault in any way, shape, or form. She was a young child, but I can also see where she would get this guilt from, because they were going to go to the Pumpkin Place together. But since Anne couldn't go, Lisa decided to just trick or treat in her neighborhood. And, you know, this is, it sounds like Fond du Lac is a fairly smaller town. It seems like, at least at this time, everyone kind of knows everyone. It's a close-knit community. And, you know, at this time, parents let their kids go trick-or-treating by themselves, you know, in the 70s and stuff. So it wasn't out of the norm at all for her mom to be like, that's fine, you go. She had to be home by 7. And I think she left, I think one of the articles I read said she left around like 5:30 or so. So, you know, a good amount of time to get some candy.
And it's still I guess it does get dark relatively around that time, but that's still leaving. It's not pitch black or anything yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, October 31st, it's right before daylight savings in the 70s. I mean, 7, it's going to be getting, that's the time where it'll have begin getting dark, like real dark. So unfortunately, Lisa would only make 3 stops that night. 1 to a classmate's house who was a neighbor, then to her teacher's who I think lived like across the street. And then the final and fateful house was that of Gerald Turner. And so, like I said, Lisa was told to be home by 7 p.m. And once it hit 7:30, her mom was really worried. Then by 10 p.m., the entire neighborhood and police knew that Lisa was missing and a search was already underway. The police searched all night. And by the next day, after word had spread, there were upwards to 5,000 people searching for Lisa.
So, wow, like, that's pretty impressive for, I mean, that quick of time, too, especially back then. I feel like that doesn't even happen now that quick and that many people.
And, I mean, so the National Guard had helicopters flying around searching, like, from the air. And there were even private planes flying over the area doing aerial searches. Then you had volunteers on, like, horses searching fields and people in vehicles that could, like, go off-roading, search the marshes. And the police dragged the rivers and the creeks. So, like, they went all out right off the bat. Wow. So,
gas stations? Good for them, though. Like, I wish it was like that with every case.
And I mean, let's be honest, it helps that she was a young white girl, you know.
Oh yeah.
Especially in that time. But the gas stations were even offering 25 gallons of gas to anyone using a vehicle to help in the search.
Dang.
Like, this town went all out.
Yeah, they did. That's amazing.
People volunteered and donated the supplies to print out. Like, they printed out thousands of her school picture to distribute. Like, this community came together. And I hated living in a small town. But, like, that is a plus side sometimes to having a smaller community like that.
Yeah, I didn't hate it, but I was ready to get out, like, explore bigger and better places. But there's definitely perks about small towns.
Yeah, no, I hated it, but
I have good memories. I mean, I wouldn't move back, but
it was what it was, you know.
Yeah,
for sure. So then, on the morning of November 3rd, a farmer named Gerald Braun, who don't get confused with Gerald Turner, was driving back home on his tractor when he discovered 2 trash bags on the side of the road. And he opened them because, of course, he did. Don't open trash bags you find on the side of the road. If you're worried that they might have something, call the police.
Right.
And one bag contained Lisa French's naked body, and the other contained her clothing from her Halloween costume. So, an autopsy would later determine that Lisa had died of asphyxiation, although a pathologist also said that she died from circulatory shock from the horrific sexual assault she endured.
Wait, and what? So, what did you call it? Say it again, because I have never heard that term like used that.
I had the definition too, but she died circulatory shock from the horrific assault she endured.
That's
so the shock, I got this from Wikipedia, like I just clicked on the link in the Wikipedia thing about this part. It says it's the state of insufficient blood flow to the tissues of the body as a result of the problem with the circulatory system. Initial symptoms of shock may include weakness, fast heart rate, fast breathing, sweating, anxiety, and increased thirst. This may be followed by confusion, unconsciousness, or cardiac arrest as complications worsen. Which,
wow.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's terrible. And I'm surprised we haven't heard that term used more often, because I feel like that's something that would happen more frequently than
unless
you would think.
Unless it's more of like the vapors, you know what I mean? Like a term they used to use back in
I was
the
just
going to
say, is it like an
really,
old?
Yeah.
And I maybe it's just now it's like assumed that some of that happens to your body anyway when you're in shock and all the things.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure. And like I said, nothing went into detail about what exactly was done to her, which I'm not mad about. But they just said it was horrendous. And I can't even imagine with that poor child. Like, I just, ugh.
It's, like, bad enough that that happened to anybody. But, like, when it happens to a kid, it's just, I mean, no words.
Yeah.
No words. That's
It's just
awful.
I can't. Yeah. So Lisa's funeral was held on November 6th. And by all accounts, like, the whole town kind of showed up. Like, church was packed. Lisa had been in Girl Scouts troop, and so like between her Girl Scouts troop and her elementary class and stuff like that, because she was in fourth grade, like the first three rows, it said, of the church were filled with just like that. And I mean,
that honestly makes me want to puke, because like that's my daughter's age, and I just think about any girl that age and they're still so innocent, and that's awful.
Well, it sounds
let my mind
like
go down that road.
Her friend talked about how she was just so bubbly and friendly and like energetic, and you know, and this whole town, like, it talked about like when her body was found and people found out, like, searchers openly wept the moment they found out. Like, and I'm sure too, this is a community that's not used to this kind of stuff happening, and you know, it's just all new for them, and it's heartbreaking.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, it would take 9 months before they finally made an arrest for her murder. And I don't think it's a surprise at this point to anyone that it was Turner, her neighbor. He was the one that was arrested. And I think he was like 29 at this point, 25. I think I wrote it somewhere in here. He was in his
20s. Like a young kid. Why was I thinking some old man? I mean, it's terrible
because
either
his name
way,
was Gerald.
But maybe that's part of it. I'm like, I had a different picture in my mind.
Oh, we'll find out. Gerald was a busy dude, and I don't have a full timeline of that, but like, we'll get into this man had done a lot before he was 25. Sick. And not even in that aspect. We'll find out.
Just a sick human. I don't care what he did. I don't like him. I hate him.
Yes. So he was arrested in August of, what would that have been, like 1974. Yeah. And Lisa's mom had her young daughter, Susan, that same month. Like, yeah. It's just heartbreaking.
How terrible.
Yeah. So they had been questioning Turner since her body was found, but like, it took him quite a while to finally be able to bring him in. His girlfriend Arlene would testify, like I said, that she eventually testifies in it, and she said that she came home from the pumpkin place. Like, she had gone to the pumpkin place with their little daughter, and she came home around 7:15 p.m. She said that Turner was in a bathrobe and said he was feeling sick. He made several trips to the bedroom to lay down while she was there, but she never followed him. But if she had, she would have found Lisa's body.
No. Oh my gosh.
Arlene came home while he was still in the, like, we'll go there. Arlene eventually left with the baby again to go visit her mother. And this is when Turner, go ahead.
So wait, sorry, they have a kid together? Yeah.
Lisa, or not Lisa, Arlene, yes, and Gerald.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
How can you even, oh my gosh.
Okay. Because remember, it was said Lisa would come over and play with their baby.
Their baby. It was theirs. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. That's right. I'm tracking.
Yes.
Okay.
So when Arlene leaves to go to her mom's again, this is when Turner dumped Lisa's body. And this is coming from a confession that he made, but he will later recant. So on August 8th of 1974, Turner confessed to the murder of Lisa. He had told police that he was, quote unquote, highly sexually motivated at the time of Lisa's assault and murder. Don't know what that means.
Sick.
Like, yeah.
Did they have evidence of this leading up to him, or he just randomly went in and said, like, hey?
So they were questioning him this whole time. Oh, because he's in the They kept bringing him in and questioning him and, like, taking polygraph tests, but they never had enough evidence to actually charge him with anything.
Got it. Okay.
And then he confessed.
Okay.
So he said he lured her into his house, which wouldn't have been hard. She already goes over and talks to him. She trusts him.
She knows him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then to his bedroom where he sexually assaulted her. He told police at one point he noticed she wasn't breathing and he tried to revive her, but that's when Arlene came home. Yeah. So he put socks on his hands and moved her to the bathroom, which I don't know what he thought socks was going to do at this point, because it's like your DNA is all right over that poor child already.
Like, you're covering your fingerprints, but everything else is on her, and the socks have your DNA probably on them too. So,
yeah. So idiot. I didn't understand that. And like, so I don't know, because it said asphyxiated. So like, if he was choking her, his hands would have been on her anyways, which I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on the different ways he could have asphyxiated her.
Yeah, we know it happened, and he's an idiot. Like, he's not smart, and he's a piece of shit. So
yeah, either way, his DNA is on this poor child. So he moved her to the bathroom, and that's when he came out with Arlene and said he was sick. So once Arlene left, he said he put her body in one trash bag and her costume in the other, and then dumped her remains on the side of the road. At trial, however, he would then tell the jury that those weren't his words, and he only signed the confession because he was tired of being harassed by the police. Which, it's like, this isn't like a Beatrice Six case where they have you arrested and they're like doing all this thing. Like, you're coming in and out. So I don't understand that. Girl, you're muted. Shannon's responding to my things I'm saying, and she had herself muted. So.
And I had like a real salty like thing going on. I don't even know what I was saying, but my dog is like chewing a bone right next to me and it's super loud. So it's like, I'm just going to mute myself in between. And then I forgot. So I'm that person now who officially memes of talking when you're muted. I was just basically saying, I think they're getting harassed, like, you poor thing. So sorry.
Yeah. I just fucking own up to it. Right. So yeah. So prior to Lisa's assault and murder, Turner, who was 25 at the time of the killing, had no sexual assault prior records. However, later on, several women would testify to his abuse of them. I'm going to get into that a little bit more, though, in a minute. So,
well, that's along the terms of all the domestic violence. So,
yeah, and it touches on it.
Yeah.
And we'll get, like I said, we'll get into that more. Because this case, be prepared to be angry. So on February 4th of 1975, Turner's found guilty of second-degree murder, enticing a child for immoral purposes and acts of sexual perversion. Except he was only sentenced to 38 years and 6 months in prison, and I don't get how the fuck that's even possible. Hey Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light. Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be, you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with two emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your two emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95 and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your Birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that Birdie with you to make sure you stay safe. Wow. How is second-degree murder alone not like 40 years, and then you add right. all the other things?
I do not understand that. Just like the case we did last week, or, well, the other day in our case we recorded. But, yeah. like, I do not understand these cases that do not end with justice. Like, that's not okay.
No. And it turns into a mess. So, like, his family continues – or, like, her family continues to be traumatized by this. So he's eligible for parole too at this point, right? Like, it's not like 38 years, but no parole or anything. And he got parole on October 13th of 1992, just 17 years and 8 months in prison. He got paroled for good behavior.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. That should not even be an option. No.
No. No. So he gets sent to a halfway house in Milwaukee where people picketed. Like, they found out, they were like, fuck no. Why is he out and why is he here?
I can't believe someone didn't kill him in prison, because people do not like people that like kids. And
I probably should have put that. So I did read this little blog thing from someone who was supposedly a guard in there, but I did read other things. I'm pretty sure he was in solitary confinement because of that.
Oh.
And I read, which I don't remember which jail this guy said he was like, he worked there. And he was in charge of, like, the library or something at this prison. And he also had to, like, get people's mail and put whether or not they could have it. And he mentioned how Turner got this magazine that he said he was pretty sure came from another country. He spent over $50 on, and it was, like, hardcore BDSM.
Sick.
Like, full images and stuff like that.
I can't
that,
believe they can even have that kind of stuff in there. Well, maybe I'm then, like, but...
I'm not gonna yuck someone else's yum with that, but if you're a sexual... Like, you're right. in for a sexual thing, how does That's it make sense? So, like, this is a whole little side tangent. I don't remember at what point this was, because he does go back to jail again for a minute and stuff, but So the guy's like, no, you can't, he can't have this. And then Turner sues and wins to get his mail. Like, and the judge is like, yeah, no, he can have it.
That's ridiculous. I don't care what the hell it is, what kind of porn it is. Yeah, the fact of the nature of his crime, that should not even be okay. I guess I have to remember it's the 70s.
I think when this happened, it would have been the 90s. It might have been like 80s.
Oh, because this was more like...
I think this part might have been in, if I remember, it was like in the 80s or early 90s, I think.
Cool. Let's just So that was just like a little side tangent.
Yeah, that was just a little side tangent. I remember reading that, but it was just like a blog thing and it didn't have a ton. I was like, this is just someone's personal. So I wasn't going to mention it, but here I am mentioning it.
Because gross.
Yeah. So anyways, so they pick it outside of his halfway house, right? But then they also picketed. You know, they were mad in front of the Milwaukee recycling plant where he was hired for a time. But like once they started to picket outside of it, like he was fired. So in November of 1993, so he was out for about a little over a year. He was ordered back in prison because a civil lawsuit was filed by angry citizens and like prosecutors came back, and this led to an appeals court determining that the state messed up in the way they calculated his mandatory release date. So he goes back to jail. And of course, every time he comes up for parole, her family is like trying to block it.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
So, okay. So it's November of 93. He's put back. In July of 94, he's up for release again, but this time it's blocked because of a new state law, and this new law was prompted because of his brief release and because of his crimes, and this law would allow for violent sex offenders to be committed to a secure mental facility when they're up for parole if they're determined to be a threat to society, and like it became known as Turner's Law. So I don't like that they like named it after him. Like it's
because I was gonna say, can we not let him have any more?
So then in 1998, Turner went on trial to determine if he posed a risk to society. And despite testimony from a young woman who had been a babysitter, this man has like two or three other kids from other women as well as his daughter with Arlene, I guess. I don't know ages and time frames, but like I said, he was 25 when this murder happened and he already had like a 1 year old or something like that. And he has several other kids. So
quite the ladies, man.
So this young woman had been a babysitter for his other children. It was just 15 when she said he sexually assaulted her. An ex-girlfriend and two ex-wives all stated that Turner would beat them for refusing sex and then rape them. And yet the jury found he posed no risk.
What is wrong with these people on these juries? I do not understand.
They didn't think he fit the description that required him to be placed in a secure mental facility under this new law. Despite these women being like, he raped a 15-year-old, he beat and raped his wives for refusing sex. But no, he doesn't seem like he should be locked up at all. Why would we do that? Oh, little Remy's poking her head in. She wants to make sure you're okay. Yeah.
She had her bone and Charlie came and took it. And now Remy's, they're real cute. I know no one can see, but you can see. And sorry, guys. And you can also cut that out if you want. Can you even see him?
Slightly. It's a bit dark.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't have like any lights on. Yeah. As we talked about earlier today. Why do people say, we'll discuss that later. Okay. Yeah. No lights on. Okay.
Listen, it's fine. It's fine. Well, a little break from that anger of what the actual fuckery. So, because they determined this, he gets out.
Gosh, and then, that's sick.
Yep. So then later, while he's at a halfway house, he was like working as a cook there. He apparently waved a knife at like a caseworker and was like yelling at them. And a judge didn't think this was enough to revoke his parole. Which I don't know how.
What? He's clearly, he's really changed.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, and wouldn't you think, which I guess this is a lot of the cases, but people that get out and then they commit crimes again, it's like, you think you'd be on your best behavior, like, hey, I don't want to go back to that shithole, but they just can't resist, can they? They can't change who they are, especially at that age.
Yeah. So he's free for several more years until 2003, when a judge does order him back to jail for another 15 years for violating his parole. They found pornographic photos and sexually explicit videos on his computer's hard drive, as well as magazines in the halfway house that he was living in, which it's weird to me that it's not, I mean, it shouldn't have been allowed here, but why is it not allowed at the halfway house, but in prison it was okay?
Right. Right. I don't get that. I do not get that.
I don't understand that either, but sorry, either way, but
no.
So this throws him back in jail for 15 years. So that would mean that, because this was 2003, that would mean that he'd be eligible for release again in 2018. But again, of course, the family, the community, they're all fighting. They filed a bunch of petitions. And so there were like several trials and different things. And it was finally determined in February of 2022. So not that long ago.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's how long, which you've got to figure there was probably COVID delays with some of his trials, because this was 2018 when he was supposed to be released.
Right.
Court's kind of slow. So they determined that in February of this year that he would be sent to a secure mental facility because he still posed a risk. But I don't think I think he still has appeals and stuff for this. So I don't think this is done, but he's not out. Thank God.
Okay, that's crazy to me that, like, this happened in the 70s.
Yeah.
And this is still going on. Like, that just blows my mind because it seems so long ago. And it's like, no, this family, I mean, is still dealing with the horribleness of it.
Yeah. Jeez. And that's just it. Every time he's scheduled for parole, they have to relive this every time. They have to fight for these things. And so, like I said, one of the articles I read, Lisa's little sister, Susan, mentions how she lost out on a childhood because she was forced to grow up in her sister's shadow, which you can't compete with a dead sister.
No.
And she said,
oh, that's terrible. Well, it's not even like it would be intentional either. You know, like you just, that's just the reality.
And let's face it too. 70s mental health care wasn't really big. So Susan said that their mom had a hard time bonding with her other two surviving children. And like, of course, Halloween then was horrible for them. There was all this guilt and anger and sadness. And Susan mentions, like, it wasn't until she was like 35 years old that she finally was able to comprehend what her mom went through and like forgive her for not being the mother she needed and forcing her. But I'm like, that's not something that a child should have to go through. So again, like, not only
you feel for everybody, you know?
Right. So it's like, not only are you taking away this young child's life, you've taken away her siblings' life, her family's life, because now you've become the center of their world. They now have to constantly make sure they're keeping tabs on if you're going to get out or not. And I can't even fathom how hard that is. And that's why the sentencing I just find ridiculous, because at least if he'd had life in prison with no parole, fine, they could forget about him.
Right.
But this family isn't able to. And again, it's like I'm doing two shorter episodes. Like, my last episode was shorter. This episode's going to be shorter as well. But this was such like a heartbreaking case. And I felt like it did, like, it just shows too, like, not only because it was like Halloween and stuff, but just it shows how much these things affect family members. You know, Lisa, or not Lisa, Susan, you know, was barely a thought in her, you know, in her mom when poor Lisa died. And
And it's like, you feel for the mom, and it's like, you can relate and understand how the mom could feel like that. It's not, but then you feel, I mean, in return,
I mean, it's just,
she felt neglected, and that sucks for everybody.
Like, it's a horrible vicious cycle, because it's like, I'm sure the mom didn't have the mental support or like healthcare and support that she needed at that time. And I can't even fathom what I would do if I lost one of my children. Like,
well, it's like, in such a horrible way, losing a child regardless is like my worst nightmare, but then in such a horrific way, and knowing what happened and knowing that this man, and then knowing he's still out, like, walking the streets. Yeah. I mean, essentially between all the different things.
Well, and especially someone who, as a parent, you knew your daughter was going there over there all the time. Like, you trusted this man. So I can't imagine the guilt there. But it's also one of those things where it's like, what was it about this night that made him decide this was it? Like, he'd clearly known her for several years.
Right. And he would have had plenty of other opportunities. Like, I mean, if he knew her too. Yes. Yeah, so why specifically that night?
Yeah. And not like we're ever going to know. This man is clearly not taking ownership. It's unfortunate that someone didn't get to him in jail. Like I said, I'm sure they've kept him pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty.
I hope he's at least been down. Like, his ass has gotten kicked a few times at least, you know?
Right. Well, and that blog thing I read, which again, it's all personal hearsay or whatever. Who knows if the guy was even like truly, I had no way to back that up, but he mentioned how like child molesters and things like that, like, gave wide berth to other prisoners because they would beat them up for absolutely no reason. Like, give them one little reason and they would beat their ass. And it's like, yeah, as they should.
Yeah. That's what they would say. Like, yeah, people and prisoners don't like kid lovers, you know, like,
yeah,
and stuff like that, you know? And I think about the guy who killed Jeffrey Dahmer in prison. And I'm like, heck yeah. Like, good on you. Like, I'm sorry, but yep.
I'm not even mad about it. Like,
no, I'm like, I'm glad it happened. And I wish he would have actually made it more horrible for him just because of all the, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like, I get why Dexter killed all the bad guys, because everyone hates them,
right? So yeah, that's the very heartbreaking Halloween case of Lisa Ann French.
Poor sweet baby, that's awful.
I know,
but I can't do kid stuff. Like, I mean, there's so many cases, and it's like, I just struggle. But I did see that one pop up a lot with the Halloween one. Yeah. So I understand, like, why. But yeah.
Like I said, it was easier. I was glad it wasn't like that Rulo case that gave so much details, which a lot of it happened to like 20-year-olds, but there was still stuff that happened to that child. Like, that was way rougher. Not that this isn't, but like, research wise, it was more rough. Because like I said, this didn't go into any details. It just, I mean, hearing a horrific thing is bad enough. But at least they didn't give those details. And so that was a little easier. I've been kind of telling someone, I was like, I'm loving all the horror. We went and saw Smile today, which was fantastically creepy.
We should probably post a picture of our best smiles at some point.
Oh, God.
To promote the movie. It was pretty good. I mean, I enjoyed it.
It was good, but it's like, I have found that since doing this podcast, I can handle the fake horror, like those horrors. I want the horror. It's spooky time. Listen, you guys, I got 3 new horror creepy books. I wouldn't even call them. I mean, spooky books from Target today because it's Halloween. I want them all. There's one that takes place in Nebraska that's called There's Someone in Your Home or House, which Netflix made into a movie, which I'm not watching until I've read this one.
Yeah, I don't think I kind of forgot that I had watched it until I went to watch it tonight. And I was like, oh, this one. So definitely read the book, because I think it was highly disappointing, but that's fine. I mean, you know, it's still fun.
Okay. We'll see how the book is and then we can compare. But yeah, so like, I can do those creepy things, but I've been having a hard time. I've been struggling when it comes to like watching the real true crime stuff right now, unless it's for research or something. Because I'm just like, reading the articles is one thing. People will send us stuff, you know, and I'm still, you know, but it's like, when you do these deep dives, I was like, I just sometimes I need it to be fiction.
I know. I feel very like desensitized, and I don't like, because we read it all the time and nothing scares me, nothing bothers me. I mean, but then like, I think it's because we read them so much and do so much with it. It's not that we don't have, you know, empathy and all that. It is hard, but I think it's just like, it wears on you and it that does. Kind of thing. You just, it's fun to take a break. I mean, not fun, but to,
like, I mean,
going to see the movie today was good. A nice break, mental break, because
even though it was still hard, but it was like, this is, I mean, granted, like, I'm like, maybe it could happen. I'm not saying it could, but maybe. But I mean, yeah. And that's like, I'm so excited. I'm going to start The Midnight Club on Netflix soon, because it's by the same guy who's done The Haunting of Hill House and Bly Manor and Midnight Mass and Hush and Oculus. And I love all of his work. So I'm super excited for the Midnight Club. I'll be binging that this weekend too.
I need to find something new to watch because I feel like I've seen all the things and I have to really feel like pulled to watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I should just keep reading. I got the book. What's the book called? I told you the, is it the Survivors Girl Support Group?
Yes.
So far it's pretty good. So I'll update on that one too. We should give you guys a list of our favorite Halloween books like everyone else does on TikTok.
Right. There was one book. It's like We've Always Lived in the Castle or something like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That I almost picked up today too at Target because I saw that on Book Talk and a lot of people like, oh, it's so good. But I was like, but then I found other books.
I know. I found like all the books at Target that I wanted and I had to make myself not. I was like, let's just finish the one we have.
Listen, I was going to go and grab that when I found out that they were buy one, get one half off. But then I decided I should be a semi-decent mom and get my son, who's super into reading now, to a new graphic novel. And then I found out I got him the second one and not the first one. So feel a bit bad about
that.
It's
fine. Journey has a, or my kid has a book fair at school this week. And I'm already, she's already told me all the books she wants. So I'm like, okay, well, you're getting your own books then. And I'll read my books. And no, you cannot read my books because I get that question a lot. I'm like,
You would not. I like did almost buy the book. The other book I want to get eventually is the How to Survive Your Murder.
I saw that one too. And that's funny because I was like, I wonder if this is any good. Yeah.
I know. I really wanted it. But I was like, no, Cassie. Like,
I know. Say See, this is our problems.
I know.
You know, it was fun today, guys. When we were at the movie, I felt like we knew. We were thinking the same things about what was going to happen. And we had a lot of commentary. And I was like, clearly we're friends because we had the same thoughts on all the things. And we were both like, hiding under our own blankets with only our eyes showing because we like knew something was about to happen. And...
But also in horror movies, why is the house always so dark?
Yes.
Who truly keeps their house that dark? Like,
and I'm sorry, when something has already traumatized you, let me sit in my dark house with all the curtains open. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Nothing.
That's the one
fine.
Thing I don't understand. Listen, all my house is lit up. Okay. Like,
oh yeah. Especially when I'm scared. That's the first thing I do is turn on every freaking light.
Everyone knows not like can happen to you when everything's well lit.
Yeah, exactly. People can't just, be hiding, you know? So that makes it. Yeah. I don't get that. We were like, oh my gosh, you stupid. Oh my gosh. No, just turn on the light, you dumb bitch.
But despite that, it was still an enjoyable movie. It gets a little hokey at the end.
Yeah.
But it was, I still enjoyed it. It didn't ruin it for me. I still really enjoyed
it. It was still better than I thought. Cause sometimes those movies can really go one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And it did keep me really curious about how it was going to end. Cause I, you know, you always have your thoughts and it kind of kept me guessing till the end. So
yeah, it was good. So not that I wish we were being sponsored by Smile. That would be fantastic, but we are not. But
creepy though.
If you're in the spooky thing, that's that.
Yeah.
I suppose we should probably stop rambling about all the things.
Yeah, sorry.
You guys, if you're a Patreon member, we have Patreon now. So if you're a Patreon member, you get the episode early and ad free and other little bonuses, and you get automatically entered into our giveaways, which we have one going on right now.
Sure.
If you go to our Instagram or Facebook, it's going on both of those. If you follow the directions on both of those, you get entered twice. And if you're Patreon, you get entered a third time for a birdie. I'm not going to go into a ton of detail about it, but we are giving away a birdie. So go to our Facebook, Instagram, find those. They're both pinned. I have them pinned on both of our pages, so you can find them pretty easily. So besides Facebook and Instagram, we have TikTok and Twitter. And our email at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Anything I'm forgetting, Shannon?
I was just going to say that, we do have ads that go during our podcast and the birdie one's in there. I had a few people say, hey, I think something happened on your podcast. Forgot to tell you this, Cassie. And I said, no, it's an ad. We don't really have the option to be like, okay, and here comes an ad. So if it blanks out, that's kind of why.
The
just as a heads
one,
up.
Yeah. The birdie one we got to make so that we get to put in. The other one is from Podbean, and like I keep putting it that it's supposed to go in our pre-roll.
Oh yeah.
So that means before the podcast starts, right, it's supposed to be the first thing that plays. And I don't know why it's not, because I know it's randomly popping in there.
So yeah, guys, I don't know.
I don't know what's up with that.
If you hear it stop for a second, that is why. Yes. That was all I was going to add, because I forgot to say, I had people say, did you, something happen? I'm like, no, no. So I figure if they ask, maybe other people have the same question.
There you go. Yes. That ad for the other podcast, it's an ad. It's a separate ad. So yeah, sorry guys, if it pops in.
I've only heard that one time though. I don't know if it's been on there, so I don't know.
I've heard it a couple times now, so I don't even know where it's going. It's supposed to throw in. I have no idea when it decides to. Who knows, you guys? So if it pops in sometimes.
We're figuring it out still, guys.
Yeah, listen. We're not.
But back, to the Patreon thing, that reminds me though, we should probably give our little shout out to.
Yes! Louise. Yeah,
Louise. I hope that's how you say it. I'm assuming that's how you say it. If we are saying it wrong, please let us know. But Louise, we love you and we are so thankful that you signed up and we love your support. Patreon.
Yeah, and
I love the messages.
She's been so sweet from the get-go. Like on Podbean, she was messaging us. She sent us a lovely email. So thank you so much. And you guys, because we are recording sooner, if you've signed up by the time this episode comes out, we didn't say your name. We'll say it next time. It's just, we recorded like 2 days, like, you know, so
things change within the time we have to post it. And
exactly. But thank you guys so much for all of your support. Thanks for joining us again. And until next time, stay Heartland kind,
but Darkland wary.